We want to talk about the church today. It won't finish today. I love the subject of the church. And we should all have the heart to grow in wisdom, not just for the sake of knowing something, because knowledge puffeth up. You know, some folks are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. Can I get an amen right there? I mean, knowledge is great. Wisdom, understanding, knowledge are all good. But if it goes to your head, some people know everything about everything, but they don't know how to come out of the rain. Can I get a witness right there? Okay. Take your Bibles. Open your Bibles to Matthew 16. And if you're able to stand, I'd ask you to stand. Matthew 16. And I think we'll start in verse 13. Matthew 16, 13. And when you get it, say amen. Thank you for standing. Thank you for bringing your Bible. I'll read it. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And that's written in red in my Bible. How about yours? So that means Jesus is speaking, right? And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art" what? "And upon this rock I will build my church." That last phrase, "I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Let's pray together. Dear Father, we're thankful that you're able to do and the impossible. You're able to do, Lord, what mere man cannot even think about doing. And you're so powerful and omniscient and omnipresent. You can be wherever you want to be. And I'm so thankful for that kind of God, for a Savior, Lord, who loves us and gave himself for sinners. I'm thankful for the church and what, Father, you established and how you're still building it even today. And so, Lord, bless this Sunday school time together. Thank you for these dear ones. I pray you bless them and just teach them, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Hold your place here. I'll put my note right there and go to Colossians. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. I wrote here in my Bible, my job. What's my job? As a shepherd, and that's found other places, like in Peter, 1 Peter 5, we're to feed the flock of God, warn the flock of God, and watch for the flock of God, and the overall care of the sheep, pray for the sheep, and that's what a shepherd does. It's more than just preaching. That's part of it. It's the overall care of the church, the flock. But what is my job? In Colossians 1, verse 26, "Even the mystery which hath been hid from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery." If you study the book of Ephesians, you see this quite a bit, this phrase, the mystery. among the Gentiles, or maybe the mystery of the gospel. What is it? Here it is defined by the scripture, the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. When you hear the word of God and the gospel and you're saved and Christ moves into your heart, you found out about the mystery of the gospel, didn't you? Now, what's my job? Well, whom we preach, verse 28, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Do I need your prayers? Amen. Paul said he didn't have the blood of anybody on his hands. I wish I could say that. There's been times I've been guilty of not getting right to the point of the gospel. And as I preach, endeavor to preach in John chapter 3, going through the book of John, I hope I can do what Jesus did, and he got right to the point with Nicodemus. He didn't get in social issues or political issues or any of that. He got right to the point. You must be born again, he said. And so that's what I want to do. But, one day we're all going to stand before God. Are you breathing? This pastor will stand, and I'll give an account for this church. You won't give an account for this church. Now, you'll give an account for your family and your wife and children if you're married. You'll give an account to God for your own life. We'll all stand, the Bible says, at the judgment seat of Christ. And I hope you don't ever go to the great white throne judgment, because if you go there, it's too late. It's over. There's no more accepting Christ. That's for the dead, Revelation chapter 20, the dead who are still in their sin, still. The scripture calls it like this: you're dead in trespasses and sins when you don't have Jesus as your Savior, right? So my job is to present you. I told this young couple at the coffee shop, I said, my job's to get you ready to meet Jesus, and that takes time. It's a process, right? One step at a time, and hopefully you'll be a little bit better by the end of the day, today, with God's help, because I know I can't do it. But by just opening this book here, which is pure and liveth and abideth forever, and it's this book will not return void, folks. I'm talking about God's word. He says in verse 29, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. And I guess I'm just doing this in prelude because I love you. But if you flip on over to Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, just a little bit to the right, a little bit to the right, verse 17. Y'all not gun shy, are you? You know how they train a dog to not be gun shy? When the little puppies are born, they'll take a little cap gun, pop right around his ears and get used to that, and then give him a treat or something, and a little bit bigger, loud noise and everything. But just because I said I love you, I don't have anything that's going to hurt you, okay? I'm not afraid to tell you what I'm fixing to tell you, because it's just the Lord. But he says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm supposed to love you. You're supposed to love me. We're supposed to love each other, right? Chapter 2, verse 17, but we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope? This is what I wanted to get at. What is our hope or joy or crown or rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Paul started a lot of churches there, and the thing that was his joy was the people. When I wasn't pastoring, that I think that's what hurt me the most. In fact, come on in. Praise the Lord. Miss Joy, I didn't have any people to love on, you know. And I actually shared that with Shelton Smith, who is the editor of the Sword of the Lord. He's the guy that runs the Sword of the Lord in Murfreesboro. Where? Tennessee? Murfreesboro. And they have a big meeting every year, but Dr. Shelton Smith, we've had him here at this church. And we were talking, and I said, I miss that so much, having my people love on, going to hospitals, things like that, which really I think that small interaction, and I think that's my niche, really. Just like going to that coffee shop with Melinda and Robert. Man, I 1 hour went by just like that. Gary, you and Denise, we need to finish that book too. But that's, you know, that's such a joy. And I told him that. Well, the phone rang in February, and it was a church. We want to have you come and be our pastor. I think they had 12 acres. It was all debt-free. This is a beautiful church. We get all the time compliments on this building, but that's not the church. But this plant, this facility, Miss Hattie, was one of the most gorgeous facilities. We can pay you right around $90,000 a year. They had more in attendance than we do. We were in Prescott Valley at the time. And the guy called and he said, we want you to be our pastor. I said, well, you don't even know me, is what I told him. And he said, well, anybody that Dr. Shelton Smith recommends, that's who we want. And, yeah, this was some beautiful facility. I said, well, let me pray about it. A couple days. I said, you need to pray about it. He said, we've already prayed about it, and God told us you're our next pastor. That's what he told me. He didn't tell me that. He told them. So there's only one downfall. It's in Pennsylvania. But I said, I'm willing to go wherever God wants me to. And this is not a place where they just have a little light snow, Leo. This said, and my brother said, well, after all, Greg, you just bought brand new snow tires. It's God telling you you need to go to Pennsylvania. To make a long story short, I didn't have any peace about that in my heart. No peace. Kathy didn't have peace. Maybe it was the grandbabies and daughter, I don't know. No, but we really just didn't have any peace about it. We did pray about it, but that was about it. And you know what? If I'd have gone to Pennsylvania, I wouldn't be here right now. My joy and my crown to be back loving on you guys. And so let me try to talk about the church a little bit. You know, doctrines, you have doctrine of Jesus Christ, doctrine of God. You know, you have a bibliology, which is the doctrine of the Bible, soteriology. What is that? The Holy Spirit? Is that it? I don't remember. I've been so long in Bible college. But I do remember this one. The doctrine of eschatology, that's last things, things to come, that's Revelation, the Lord's coming back, eschatology. But in college, when I was going through, my favorite of all classes was the doctrine of ecclesiology, the doctrine of the church. You see, the church in Greek is ekklesia, ekkle, ecclesiology. That's the doctrine of the church. What's the Bible say about the church? And it doesn't matter what man says. The Bible gets the final vote, amen, about everything. So we can learn a little bit more about the church. And like I say, we'll have a couple more weeks on this. But can I say, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. You can be a member of a church and go to hell. The church membership won't save anybody. Amen. You need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is the Christ. Back in Matthew 16, we read this. Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What's the definition of Christ? Christology. This is what it means, the anointed. Christ, Jesus. He is the Messiah. Amen? He is the anointed one. He is the Savior of the world. I'll just give you two. Because if Christ is not the head, you don't have a church. Amen? He's the head of the church. He is the foundation. He is the chief cornerstone. No foundation can be laid, that which is laid, other than Jesus Christ. If you don't have him, you don't need to go to that church. So hold your place right here. I'll just give you a couple verses. Matthew 1. You're in Matthew 16. Matthew 1, 21. Let me read it. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name, for he shall save his people from their what? Sins. Now go to Luke 2, 10 and 11. Luke 2. Talk about the birth of Jesus. Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. I hear your fingers walking through the yellow pages. But it's not the yellow pages. It's the beautiful Bible. Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a who? Which is Christ the Lord. And if you're not saved, you know, Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and we should ask him to forgive us and repent. And you should know right now that you can be saved. Just like Joshua was saved. How many of you saved? Raise your hand. Just like all these hands raised. Okay? They were saved. You can be saved. Because of the gospel. Because of Christ the Savior. That's the good news. Now, what does the Bible say the church is? Does it say it's the building? No. A denomination? No. Now, we're Baptists because of what we believe. We believe as a whole. I mean, Baptists believe the Bible. Denomination is a set of doctrines, teachings. If you have a church so-called church, called non-denomination church. That means no doctrine, no doctrine church. You don't be in that one either. But it's not a building. It's not a denomination. It's not a human organization. It's not all the believers in the world. Some people, a lot of people think. And I say this tenderly, gently, as a mother. It says, as she nourisheth her children, as a nursemaid. I say this very tenderly. It's not the Roman Catholic Church. Not some human organization. It's not, okay, I was christened as a baby into the Roman Catholic Church, so I'm in the church. I'm a member of the church. It's not this universal world church. It's not the invisible church. Amen? Because you see, well, Leo's looking at me right now. He sees the back of Brother David Tarr's head. You know, he's seeing. And that's what it said right where we were in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'll just read it. You don't even have to turn there. Listen. But we therefore being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered. Listen. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Who founded the church? It's not in the Bible that it was started at Pentecost. Not there. Jesus founded the church. It wasn't Peter. It wasn't Peter. I know he says right here over in Matthew 16. Are you still in Matthew 16, 18? And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, I believe Jesus was talking about his self, I will build whose church? My church. That word build in the root means continuous. Every time a soul gets saved, he's building his church. He's continuing to build his church. Amen? It's going on. It didn't die out with Peter. You folks. The Lord adds to the church. It's his church. Amen? So he's building it. Peter, his name means little pebble, little stone, but Jesus is the cornerstone. He is the foundation. He's the solid rock. He really is. Let's go to 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. I don't think we're even going to get through the first lesson. 1 Peter 2, 3 and 4. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Who's it talking about? Jesus. Verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We'll stop there. So the Lord came up with the idea about the church. Why don't we go to 1 Corinthians 3? This is our missions conference theme passage. 1 Corinthians 3. I want to start in verse 9. We'll read down through 15. This is the theme for our church all year long, really, coming up. Chapter 3, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 3. You got it? Say amen. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. It's going to be brought to light, isn't it? At the judgment. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. That word sort means kind, or what is species, or what it's made up. Matter. What kind of matter it's made up of. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Once you're saved, you're saved. But, you know, we ought to want some rewards to cast at Jesus' feet when we get to heaven. Amen. Right there, we should. And you can get some rewards in this life. The Lord will give you and help you to gain. Everything you do for Christ, it's not in vain. Can I get a witness right there? I said it's not in vain when you do something for the Lord. So the church is also an assembly. It's an assembly. It has some organization to it. My wife and I were trying to think of that acronym, Baptist. We are Baptist because we believe the Bible. And there's some organization there. The first B, Brother Larry, is biblical authority. If you don't have a Bible, you're not a good church. You're not a right church. Not a biblical church. Biblical authority. What is A? Autonomy. I believe it's autonomy. What's that word mean? Self-supporting. Self-governing, self-propagating. And then if you have those things, it's not right for a convention to support the church. The church should be supported by itself. Amen. You just can't go out and start a church. You have to have a church to start a church. Churches start churches, self-propagating, self-supporting. What's the other one? Self-supporting, self-propagating, self-governing. You don't have outside people telling you what to do. Well, we have to do what they tell us to do. No, the church tells you, you know, and the church decides. So it's got organization. It's an assembly, not just a pile. It's likened unto a body. Your body has organization, right? The Bible says in Psalm, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We just don't have a pile of flesh and a pile of bones here and hair and there and everywhere. What about a house? Well, the Bible likens the church to a house of God, that thou may know how to behave thyself in the house of God, Timothy said. So you just don't have a pile of bricks here, a bunch of trusses over here, and a bunch of wires balled up in a not, you know, and you know, it's got some order, and it takes a blueprint, and God gave us the blueprint of the church. Biblical authority, autonomy, dichotomy, autonomy. What's the next one? BAP, priesthood of the believers, I believe. There's a T, there's two ordinances. There's only two. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. They don't save you, Joshua. They're to be remembered. This do in remembrance of me. The wedding band don't save you, right? In fact, I can't even baptize Joshua unless he told me I'm saved. I can't do it. You have to get that done first. Okay. So, two ordinances. And I might have got that out of line. The other T is two offices. There's only two in this black book here. Pastor and deacons. There's not all this hierarchy like you find in some denominations. Hierarchies. And there's a lot of it, right? And that gets in trouble, doesn't it? But the church is an assembly. The word church, I got about 4 minutes, is found in the Bible 114 times. I've heard different, maybe 120, but out of that, 114 times, this is what you need to nail down in your heart right here concerning the church. The overwhelming majority of the times that it's used, it's just not talking about, what's the word I'm looking for? An assembly of the day. 114, I've heard 115 out of 120 sometimes that the word is used in this book. Is majority it's used as a local New Testament church. That's what you need to know. Local New Testament church. For instance, the church at Philippi, the Philippians, the church at Rome, the church at Ephesus, Ephesians, the church at Corinth. The church, there's others, Colossae, book of Colossians. So he's writing to these local churches. Overwhelmingly, amount of the time that the word church is used. Because a lot of people, they don't like to be told by God what to do. I don't have to tithe. I don't have to come on Sunday morning, get out of the bed, and drive to church. Well, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. So they made up their own doctrine, and they're now a part of the universal invisible church. I'm out there in the woods, and I'm going to church. I can have church out there just sit. Not according to this book. Who's your pastor? Of the invisible universal church. Who is he? Well, it's Joel, somebody up on the screen. You know, this couple that we visited, they said, we love this church because we actually have a pastor we can look at. And here, when we go to these seeking sensitive churches, seeking sensitive feel good churches, y'all know what I'm talking about. They're called like, the Radiant, or what's a, there's other names. A Refinery. There's a Refinery. There's a Radiance. And there's another. The Gathering. Don't take the name church off of your sign. Amen. And don't take the name Baptist off your sign. But a lot of them, the couple told me, said, yeah, we don't like all those drum sets and all that. Gyrant, you know, music to get you jumping and all of that. And we like to see a preacher. We don't like to just look, watch him up on the screen. There's a difference. It shouldn't be seeker-sensitive, feel-good church. It should be Savior-sensitive. Amen. Right there. Bible-sensitive. People getting saved. I'm not saying people can't get saved out in the woods. They can get saved out in the woods, but that's not God's concept in the Bible about a local New Testament church. The church is an assembly. Ekklesia. What does it mean? A company of people called out to a specific place for a specific purpose. Joshua, did I tell you this? I don't know if I remember or not telling you this, but we were talking. It might have been Gary. I said, well, when do you come to church? I said, well, when the doors are open. Come to church. It's a called out assembly. I had the idea of a town crier, but even more so, he would go out into the meeting place. He would call for the assembly, but not so much for an assembly of the day. A town crier would call the citizens for a meeting. I guess they just couldn't text them back in those days, could they? Hey, we're getting ready to have church. No. He'd call them out. So the definition of ekklesia, the Greek word for church, is a called out assembly of saved, baptized members for the purpose of evangelization. That's a church. And more. But I'm thankful for the church. Jesus said, it's my church. The New Testament church is the Lord's church. Oh my goodness, I'm late. People cannot come together and be all over the world. People cannot come together and not be seen. Well, we didn't finish, folks, but I appreciate your patience. Hope you've learned something. Hope you've learned at least one thing. Let's stand together. It's time to fellowship, shake some hands, love on one another, and get ready for church. And so, church service. Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for this day, Lord, your day. It's the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.